Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. What's going on? This is Who Got Next, and this is E-Dub. I hope everybody had a good time and a good weekend. We are back with another show. I have another guest, of course, as I always do. And I'm going to see if I can try to get my sway in the morning on here with an introduction. So I woke up this morning, and I needed to get my mojo going. So I needed a little coffee, but I didn't have no sugar. And since I didn't have no sugar, I had to get some. So what I decided to do was go next door.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
I want to go next door and speak to Miss Jessica. We got Miss Jessica, the girl next door from Power 98, the Morning Madhouse Show. Thank you for coming into the Who Got Next podcast.
I am excited about this. Yeah. I'm a fan of your work. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. That is a compliment. I still consider myself an amateur, but I also consider myself a student. Mm-hmm. So I'm always paying attention to the Morning Madhouse. I listen to you all a lot. I listen to a lot of other podcasts, and I listen to a lot of journalism and things like that. So these are things that I like to do, and you also like to do these things. So I just wanted to talk to you. I know you've been in Charlotte for a while. Just kind of give you a little background of what I know about you so far. I know you are a JCSU alum.
Yes, Smithite.
I'm gonna give y'all a shout out. I know there's always a back and forth. I went to Fayetteville State.
Okay.
So I know there's always a back and forth with my friends. Just friendly banter, but I do salute all HBCUs.
So yes.
Shout out to that. You started doing I guess you was waiting for this opportunity to be on the Morning Madhouse, and I guess you was working in the school system to an extent.
Yes.
And I guess you were looking for, I guess it took about 11 years to land the official role.
Yes.
So talk about that a little bit, about how you got started. What drove you to want to pursue this opportunity?
So as a student at Johnson C. Smith, I began to intern with No Limit Larry. I was his intern. And I also interned under the late, great Nate Quick.
I know about Nate Quick. Yes, my sister talked about him a lot.
Yes, Nate Quick was an awesome man. Unfortunately, he passed away.
A legend, I would say, because a lot of people talk about him.
Oh, man, he definitely is a Charlotte legend. Mm-hmm. Just a great guy. Mm-hmm. A great guy. And I was interning under both of them. Mm-hmm. And then the night before my graduation, the morning of my graduation, I got hired the week of my graduation, and then the morning of my graduation from Johnson C. Smith, I did my first radio show.
Okay. But that wasn't the morning show. It was just
no,
on
that
the radio.
So I was hired part-time. Okay. I was hired part-time. And so I did that from 2 a.m. until 6 a.m., went back to Johnson C. Smith, got dressed, went to Bojangles Coliseum, and then graduated that day. So that was a very, very special day.
You can never forget that.
Never forget that start of the end of my college career and start of my radio career.
And it really doesn't happen that way for a lot of people. You know, just starting out that way, being that you got up that morning to go work, then go graduate. Sometimes it takes a while for us to find what we're looking for and to find something. So that is a...
Well, it was still a waiting game because it was about there. So I interned for about 2 years, then got hired, and then was part-time. Mm-hmm. Part-time pays absolutely no money in the radio industry. So I had to have a full-time job during that. And that's when I was working in the school system. So I started off as an ISS teacher at South Mecklenburg High School.
The badass kid.
Yes. But it was... I loved that job. I absolutely loved that job, and to this day, I still keep in contact with all of my students. Okay. And it's crazy because my students now have kids and
they're growing up.
Yeah, they grown and things like that. But I still keep in contact with all of those students. And so part time means that I fill in for full time when they're out, which means that no holidays or anything like that, because I was at work.
Right.
And I'm originally from Virginia.
What part?
So Virginia Beach.
Okay, shout out. What's that?
757.
757.
Yep, 757. Born in New Orleans, but grew up in Virginia Beach. I'm a military baby.
Me too.
Yeah.
Navy? Army?
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, okay.
Coast Guard.
My dad retired Air Force, retired my junior year of college.
Yeah, so my father retired as soon as I graduated.
Okay.
As soon as I came out.
That's when that ID card is done.
Lit, but I still got mine. So.
I have mine, but I don't look nothing like it. But trust me, I used to try to use it. They like this.
You know what? I can still get away with using it, just not in a military strong area.
That is correct, because we used to. I'm gonna give you a little story. I know you're talking about. Let me give you a little story. So I'm from Goldsboro originally.
Okay.
And that's Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. So me and my friends, when we was in high school, we did. You got to think, I graduated in 99. We didn't look 16, 17. We looked a lot older. I mean, I didn't have it, but my friends had beards and everything.
Uh-huh.
So we used to drive down to Greenville. Greenville had this club called the Texas Two-Step. And we knew we were 16. And I don't know, I guess our parents just gave us that freedom. So we would drive down there on a Thursday night, college night, and get into these parties because we knew that guy at the door didn't understand how to look at a military ID.
Yes.
Because at that time, the date was on a back.
The back of it. Yes. Yes.
so he'll just look at the front and be like, okay, you good. And I'm like, we are doing this in 10th to like 11th grade doing this. And we have no business down there. So I understand.
Yes.
Shout out to the military IDs.
Yes. Yes. I can use it in Charlotte, but I dare not pull it out like in Norfolk or Virginia. Oh, yeah.
Because they know. Cause
they know.
They're trained to know too.
Exactly.
Like, look on the back because they will get you.
Exactly. Exactly. My joint been expired for years.
Right. Right.
My dad laughs every time I pull it out. I'm like, Daddy, I got a 10% discount today. Because I was part-time, I couldn't do any holidays. Mm-hmm. So like Christmas, Thanksgiving, or anything like that. And family is huge. But I couldn't go back home because I was part-time. And so I did that for about 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then kept a full-time job going. So I was literally working 7 days a week.
Right.
7 days a week. And sometimes on those days, mm-hmm. both of my jobs, like in the school system. And I helped open up the Stratford Richardson YMCA, which is around here.
Heard of it.
I was the family services director when it first opened.
Okay.
So did all the youth programming there. And then I did a couple of years with communities and schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great job. That was actually the job that I left when I became full-time on the morning show.
Right. When you left, you was a coordinator, right?
I was a coordinator.
At
I was
Ashley Middle School?
At Ashley Park.
Ashley Park, okay.
Yeah, I was over there at Ashley Park. Shout out to the Eagles, my babies. It's crazy because my last group of kids that I have worked with are seniors this year. They're graduating.
Oh, wow. And they always make sure to keep in contact.
Oh, man. I was at Myers Park the other day. Shout out to Twan Flip. I was at mm-hmm. Myers Park watching him play football the other day. He's about to graduate.
And I know what you leaving, having a job like that, because just based off how you're talking now and just looking at the information on your social media, that is a big part of you. So I know that was probably bittersweet when it was time for you to transition into something that you've been wanting for a long time.
Oh, man. So I actually waited until the last day.
To make the decision?
To tell my kids.
Oh, wow.
To tell my kids. And it was like last day, end of the day. And I know that seems unfair, but I just knew it was going to be hard. Like
you try to make it easier for you. You didn't want to be selfish, but
yeah, it was.
You had to kind of be selfish for that. So was that when you made that decision? Did you finish out the school year, or was it like in?
No. I couldn't finish out the school year.
Okay,
I couldn't finish out the school year. You know, radio is the type of job that when the opportunity presents itself, you have to take it. It's not one of those things where it's like, okay, I can begin to transition at the end of the school year so that I can transition out of my school.
Right.
When the position opens, you got to go for it, because if you say no, there is always somebody 20 other people that are waiting to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
With a position like the Morning Madhouse or a morning show,
mm-hmm.
you got to go. You got to go. Right. And at that time, we had a new boss. And when she came in, she said, I want to sit down and want to meet with everybody individually.
Mm-hmm.
And I went. I signed up immediately. I wanted to be the first person that she saw. And I remember thinking to myself, I have to go in here and show her what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, what do you do here at Power 98? And I said, I do everything. I do everything. Whatever shift you need me in, I can do mm-hmm. gospel all the way down to the Quiet Storm. wherever you need me.
I got you.
That's where I can go. And she was like, okay, try me. Like, where do you need me?
Put me in. Test you out.
Yeah, exactly. Put me in, see what I can do. And I call her my radio fairy godmother.
Okay.
She's no longer at Power 98. She's actually out in L.A.
Okay.
But I call her my radio fairy godmother because she saw it in me. She saw the passion, the desire, the drive, and the willingness to be a student, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. And so she saw it in me, and she put me in the spot.
So at that time when you sat down with her, was that at the exact time when it was a possibility that the Morning Madhouse was looking for another host?
It's funny how that all went down. So it was the night of the NBA Finals. Steph Curry, the Golden State was in it. I can't remember exactly. I've been on the Morning Madhouse for about 4 years. So about 4 years ago. So
that's probably their second time around, yeah, against Cleveland.
It was the night of the finals, and I was watching the game, and I fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
While I was watching the game, and I woke up to go get in the bed,
mm-hmm,
and I looked down at my phone, and I realized that I had a missed phone call I missed a text from Larry, mm-hmm, no, let me Larry, and I missed a phone call from my boss at that time. Her name is Jam.
Mm-hmm.
I call her the Jam, like the Bam, the Jam. I missed a phone call from the Jam, and Larry's message said, hey, Jam wants you to come in and work tomorrow on the Morning Madhouse. And I was like, all right, cool, no problem. Mm-hmm. And so I get there, and everybody is sort of whispering and talking and things like that. And I'm like, what y'all whispering about? And they go, you didn't see it? I'm sure a lot of people know about the controversy that, yeah, happened and things like that. And they're like, you didn't see it? And I was like, I don't know what y'all are talking about.
You were asleep.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. They were like, well, she quit. And I'm like, what do you mean she quit? And they're like, you haven't seen social media? Well, at that time, the woman that I'm talking about, she had blocked me on social media. I don't know why. I have no idea. But she had blocked me on social media. And I said, no, I haven't seen anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they showed me, and they were like, she quit. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm not one for drama or anything like that. Immediately at that moment, I was like, all right, this is my opportunity. Yep. This is my chance. And I'm going to show them what I'm made of. And things like that. So from that moment on,
mm-hmm,
I was filling in, but basically auditioning for the spot as well. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So and how instrumental was Larry in that for you?
So Larry, like I said, I interned with Larry. So I started with Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Larry knows my work ethic. Larry knows how I operate and things like that. And Larry and I have a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny. Larry drives me crazy. Like, he drives me crazy.
I can see that. I met him. When we see each other, we speak.
Uh-huh.
But I actually went on the morning show a while back with the freshmen.
Okay.
For our sneaker shows. I know you know Lex. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Lex and Dexter Dynamite. So
I
met him then, and then working in Foot Locker, he was a regular.
Mm-hmm.
Regular coming in there. So I could see where the energy, but that's him.
Yes.
No limit.
He is no limit.
So I can see how in a brother sister way, like, look, you getting on my nerves. But it's in a fun way.
Yeah. And so it works because we have years of history. So
and chemistry is important.
And chemistry is important. And mm-hmm, we have that chemistry where when he is driving me crazy, I can say, yo, like, chill. Or like, Larry and I can go toe-to-toe with each other and be like, all right, cool. We got that out. We good. Let's move on. There's a respect level there.
So once it's said and done, it's like he could walk out the door and come back in and say, look, what you want to eat?
Yeah. We're not harboring any feelings, and we understand that when we do go toe-to-toe, it's for our love for each other,
mm-hmm,
as brother and sister, and also for the betterment of the product that we're trying to produce. Correct. Out here. So yeah, Larry was very instrumental in that because it's his show. The mm-hmm name of the show is No Limit Larry and the Morning Madhouse. It's mm-hmm his show, so he has a say so in who he wants his co-host to be and who he feels comfortable working with. So he definitely had a say so.
And him being the main person, because it is No Limit
mm-hmm
Larry in the Madhouse, he's seen the transition. Radio to me is like military
mm-hmm
and retail, because so many people leave, so many people shift in and come in, and based off of them just not wanting to do it or the opportunities that's available. It's just like you said, once that opportunity becomes available, you have to be, if you stay ready, you don't have to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know where it's going to happen, especially with what you're trying to do. I know you said that you're the person that you, I guess that hired you, was in LA now.
Yeah.
So it could just quickly turn in a heartbeat. And then when new management comes in, you have to set yourself up again to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in a sense to prove yourself. But the ones that's been established there is like, I'm good. But they also have to be ready.
Ready. You got to be ready. Because when new management comes in, new management has a vision of how they want and they see the station. So they can bring people in with them. And, you know, and nobody's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's safe. So you got to be prepared.
Right. So, okay. You come from, I'm going to say you probably come from a family that's into music and things like that. So I had read somewhere where your dad was a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad was a DJ and your uncle, I guess, was a manager at Excelsior.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go into Excelsior just to listen to the music, knowing you had no business in there. I tried to do my research on it, so I did read that somewhere. So how instrumental were they in scoping your idea about doing radio or doing something to that magnitude?
So yes, my dad is he's a retired captain in the military, but he also would like DJ on the weekends and things like that. And he's from Charlotte. My mom and my dad are from Charlotte.
That's how you got here, pretty much.
Well, yeah, because both of them attended. Both of them. My mom is more so from Virginia.
Okay.
She moved to Charlotte when she was a senior in high school, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and they both attended West Charlotte High School.
Okay.
So they sort of met at West Charlotte High School, began dating at Johnson C. Smith, and got married. And so coming to go to homecomings and things like that and visiting family, Johnson C. Smith was an option for me. It wasn't the option. I wanted to go to FAMU.
Okay.
But that's sort of how I ended up here. But yeah, my dad coming here to visit my grandmother and my cousins and things like that, Excelsior is home. It is, when I found out that there was a possibility that they would be tearing down the Excelsior, that's crushing to my family. We've celebrated anniversaries, birthdays, all of those types of things there because my uncle, his name is Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle Clarence was the manager there for as long as I've known.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I've known. He has since passed away. But when I was in college, I would go drive over there, sneak in. I get in off the strength of him. I'm Clarence's niece. Y'all gotta let me in. Y'all gotta let me in. And then I get in there and be chilling on the dance floor. And then he walk by. He'd be like, "Who let her in? Who let her in? Don't."
Yeah, you didn't even see him.
Yeah, exactly. He'd go pull me out there. It's like, "Don't let her in here. Don't let her in here." But my dad would make mixtapes for my mom, like actual tapes. Mixtapes for my mom, and then my mom would play those tapes in the car.
Cassette tapes, TDK, Maxwell.
Yes, yes. And it's funny, the last Jazz Fest that we had had Jonathan Butler.
Okay.
And my mom is a huge Jonathan Butler fan. That's her number one person. So when they were like, "Jonathan Butler's coming," I'm running around the station going, "Jonathan Butler's coming, Jonathan," because that's what I grew up listening to.
And everybody was like,
"Everybody was like, who? Who? I'm the only one on the hip hop station running around talking about Jonathan Butler,
right,
who is
a jazz
guitarist and singer." And I am excited. And I am on the side of the stage singing every song, going, "I love you, Jonathan." And all this, like, so I grew up listening, not even just Saturday mornings, like every day, all different types of music. And my dad had a huge record collection. And I have some of those records at home. Like, you're going to look at my music playlist and my iPod, and you're going to find everything in there, a mixture of everything.
That's like me. I'm not just a hip-hop head, but I listen to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
With me personally, some of my friends finally figured out things about me. They know when I'm listening to Frank Sinatra, okay, they'll text me, "You good?" "You good?" Because I know when you play Frank Sinatra, uh-huh. you're not in a good headspace about anything. I play the same, so I did it my way. That's like one of my favorite Frank Sinatra. And I wasn't on Frank Sinatra at first. My homeboy was on it. And I just, for the life of me, I couldn't understand. I'm like, "Why are you listening to this guy?" I knew he was.
Uh-huh.
But why you? And then when I got into school, I was doing a paper and something just said put it in. And it actually is therapeutic. It relaxes me in a way that I never felt before when it comes to, and I was just in there just writing. I said, yo, that actually worked.
Everybody talks, like uses language to mm-hmm. communicate. And that's what music is. That's what music is. Like if you listen, that's why I love lyrical music.
Correct.
Like
me too.
I get a little vibe, you know, I get a little vibe with the, you know, the catchy stuff and things like that. But I love to sit down and hear good lyrics from people and because that describes a mood, a vibe, and correct. Things like that. And so you know, my dad would record it and my mom would play it. So I grew up around all of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit. Now you're in a radio station. What do you feel was, because I know you had one, what was your best interview you feel so far that you've had?
What was my best interview? I've had some crazy interviews. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what was my best interview? I would have to say my Cam Newton interview. Okay. My Cam Newton interview. Because we just talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. We talked about a lot in that. And as a matter of fact, I probably got in a little bit of trouble for that because they were like, we want you to focus on this. Mm-hmm. And I just went all over the spectrum. But he was engaging. You know, when you have an artist or a person in there that's going to engage, you're going to.
It makes it easier, especially if they're okay with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so you're going to go with it if they're engaging in it. So Cam Newton was good. Just on Friday, we did Ari Spears, the comedian.
I know about him right
now.
Yeah,
you know, he has a lot of controversy that surrounds him. And he's sort of known as a jerk. He's known as a jerk in the industry, right?
Correct.
So he sort of walked in and he sat down and he wasn't talking a lot. He was in his phone a lot. And we started talking about old television shows and he sort of opened up and engaged in that, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Still stayed in his phone. But then Burpee asked a great question about comedy and how he feels about the comedy world. And then I followed up with, hey, there's controversy surrounding you and there's probably some misconceptions that you want to address. How do you go ahead and address it? And he opened right up. He was like a different guy. And I was like, wow, hold on. We got Ari Spears to open up.
It sounds like sometimes they are looking for the right question to be asked to them.
Yeah.
So they could, because maybe they're trying to feel you out. Maybe they're trying to see where you're trying to go.
Or if you believe the hype that's going on with them. And if you're going to play into that.
Mm-hmm.
He opened right up. And I was like, wow, like. Dude, not so bad. He's really not, you know, and he explained why he says, and his thing was like, don't believe the hype behind me. Just give me a chance. And so that one was a really good interview. That one just happened on Friday.
Okay. What do you think was your worst?
What was my worst?
Or if you had a worst?
I probably have.
Or maybe you said to yourself when the mic went off and you took your headset off and you went out the door, you said to yourself, I don't know about that one.
There's probably been a couple of them where I felt like I could have asked better questions or I could have been better prepared for it. I think the Peter and Matt interview for me, that's the one that went viral where Peter Thomas and Kenya Moore's ex-boyfriend, Matt, they got into the fight.
He stole my thunder. That was going to be a segue.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, like that. My question to you was going to be about that. How did you feel in that moment? Because I saw the video and I saw Butterfingers in it and I saw Tony. I know Tony.
Yes.
I didn't know Tony had that.
What? Tony was the savior of the day.
I said, yo, where did you get Buck like that from? He used to do our videos for the freshman. Uh-huh. And he said, man, I had to do something. He said, because of course some people would think he looked staged at first. But when I kept looking, I said, I know these guys. They're not that great of an actor. So listen, I said, this is real.
There was nothing about that was staged. Wow. There was nothing about that was staged. So backstory for that interview. Matt and Peter were both in the, they were in the news. Mm-hmm. And they were going back and forth. I reached out to Matt via Instagram and was like, hey, can I get an interview to get your side of the story? Matt said, sure. When do you want me there? I said, we're in Charlotte, North Carolina. He was like, I'll drive. And literally drove in the middle of the night to get to Charlotte. He, oh, wow. He drove in the middle of the night to get to Charlotte for that interview. So when he said he would participate, I was like, okay, cool. I called Peter and I was like, let me call Peter and see if he'll participate. Called Peter. Peter said no. Mm-hmm. He was like, nah, Jess. He's like, I have a good relationship with Peter. Peter said no. I'm not going to participate in that. And I said, okay, cool. The next morning, the day of the interview, he hit me up at around 9 and he says, I'll come. I'm on my way. I said, okay, cool. You know? Because my job as a journalist is to get the good interview. That's correct, my job. Correct. You know, I'm not trying to set people up. I'm trying to get the good interview. Mm-hmm. And that was the hot topic at the time. So I immediately call Matt and I say, Matt, I just want to let you know, Peter will also be participating in this interview. I don't want to ambush anybody. Mm-hmm. Peter will be participating in this interview. There can be nothing that happens. Right. I'm going to be the only female in this room. There can be nothing that happens. Matt goes, okay, cool. I got you. No problem. Peter shows up. We get him in the studio. Matt shows up. I once again to say to Matt, nothing can go on in here. This is just a conversation. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, cool. Sit down. And within the first 5 minutes, which nobody has seen this full interview. This full interview, you all have seen like, what, a 3-minute fight?
Yeah.
The interview was like 30 minutes. Mm. The whole interview was like 30 minutes. Within like the first 5 minutes, Matt jumps up and starts taking off his jewelry. And I'm like, yo, Matt, no. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about this. No.
Can't happen.
You can't do that. So he sits down and we, you know, they go back and forth and we're talking and we're getting things out and people are hearing other sides and everything else like that. But at some point, Matt just takes that bottle, which we still have at the station. We still have that bottle. He takes the bottle and he throws it at Peter and like he goes to attack him. Now, here's part of what I didn't like about this. DJ Butterfingers got a real bad rap in this situation. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people saw me jump up and go and try to break it up. You got to understand, I have a background in the school system. Mm-hmm. I'm used to jumping in and breaking up fights between kids and things like that. And also, these are two people that I invited up to my work.
Correct.
And they are now fighting. I feel responsible for this. I am trying to break this up. It's not the first time that I've broken up a fight because I broke up fights in the school system. Yeah. But people didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But they see Butter, and they don't see Butter really trying to break up the fight, you know? Butter runs out and tries to get help. What people don't know is that Butter had just gotten out of the hospital.
I remember that.
That was literally his first day back from being in the hospital for weeks. We almost lost Butter. Mm-hmm. His appendix had ruptured. He really didn't know. He had been in the hospital bad for weeks, and that was his first day back. He couldn't. Physically, he couldn't jump in there and mm-hmm. do that. Like, my brother would never leave me hanging. That's my brother. Right. My brother would never leave me hanging. Mm-hmm. You know, he ran out trying to get help because physically he couldn't do it. He had just gotten out of the hospital. And I felt like my brother got a bad rap for that. And then you see Tony walk by. You can see him walk by in the window.
Tony Hulk.
And Tony runs in because he's like, yo, my sister. Tony's my brother too. So he runs in. And I don't know where he got that strength from, but he yanked Matt up and pulled him out and got him out of there. It was just like, wow. And the crazy part was the cameraman never stopped filming. Like, he got everything, which I think is why people thought it was staged.
Right.
Because he caught every single moment of it. But I was like, yo, Willie J. Mm-hmm. And he never put the camera down, never got the whole thing. So... Yeah. And the other thing is, I think that dropped in like, I can't remember the exact months, but the video dropped like 3 or 4 months after it really happened. Mm-hmm. So I got a phone call from one of my best friends, and she was like, yo, you didn't tell me it was this bad. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, yo, your video is all over TMZ. It's all out. Yeah. I had no idea.
I think that's where I saw it first. I saw it on one of the, I said, hold on. I said, that's Miss Jessica. I said, oh, shoot, that's Charlotte. I said, wow. And then it just caught on everywhere. So that's why I asked that question. But thank you for giving me that full insight.
Yeah.
I didn't know all
that. Nobody really knew.
I didn't know the real insight. But something told me in an interview, I'm a firm believer of saying there's more to this.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a sound bite or a clip. So I had a feeling something else was happening there. So I do appreciate you giving me that giving me that information. You've helped a lot of people. Crazy, I do interview a lot of people that went to John C. Smith because I'm here in Charlotte. And, of course, people as such as sat right here telling me how instrumental that you were in getting where they need to go. Lex is one of them.
That's my buddy.
Yeah, that's my guy,
Love
too.
Me some Lex.
He said you was real instrumental in getting him into the school system after he went through his own thinking process of what he wanted to do, what he wanted to do next. And DJ Midnight also said that you helped him out. And I said, dang, I said, she has helped out a lot of a lot of people. So I wanted to make sure that I did tell you that because everybody that I've talked to from John C. Smith, in some way, shape, or form, there's a 6 degree of separation, and your name always come up. Which is why I wanted to talk to you. I said, okay, I paid attention, but I said, okay, y'all are saying a lot of good things about her. So I want to know what all the good things she did too, but I want to make sure to give you that shout out.
Thank
because
you.
They bigged you up a real big thing.
It's easy to help out good people, and both Lex and Midnight are really, really good people.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Those are my guys. So let's talk real quick. What do you think with the radio scene now in Charlotte? Because Charlotte is growing.
What?
Growing tremendously. So how do you feel radio in Charlotte, Power 98 specifically? How do you feel they're going to fit in the landscape of how Charlotte is growing moving forward?
I mean, Power 98 is like we were saying, Nate Quick is legend. Power 98 is legend. Like it ain't going nowhere, you know, and I think that we have great leadership. Mr. Incognito is my boss, also a legend. The man is a genius. Mm-hmm. If you think the baby is one of the biggest artists that's out here right now.
I remember him. He was black. Well,
Baby Jesus
in a diaper.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that.
Baby Jesus in a diaper. Exactly. But when he was Baby Jesus in a diaper, Incog was putting him on the scene. Incog was performing at our celebrity basketball games. He was performing at our Madhouse Live during CIAA and our block parties and things like that. He sees it. He has great vision and knows a star. And when it comes across him, he's ready to put those people on the map and things like that. And that happens through Power 98. I think that the right people are at the table at Power 98. Vonetta, Nikki, B Notes, the whole Madhouse, Burpee, Larry, even our part-timers, Prag, Bill Blast, Midnight, Butterfingers. We got the right people at the table. And even in the background, like Leslie, our promotions director, we all about the culture. Mm-hmm. We're all about the cultures. And the great thing about us is all of us are still students. We're all humble enough to still be learning and following and things like that. So, you know, as the culture grows, we're growing with the culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that we got the right people there to do that.
I believe so. It's not even just with the radio. I just think overall what I like about Charlotte now is there's an opportunity for everybody in some aspect. Again, you are in radio, so you are part of the, you know, what's going on. And podcast a little bit different. A lot of people got podcasts, and you know everybody is doing something different. I know with mine, I wanted to be specific in what I was trying to convey because, of course, the cultural aspect of it, the main events, current events, music, all of that is cool. I love all of that, but I just felt that there was a lot of things going on in Charlotte. I felt I built some great relationships with people because I've been here since 2007. So I'm not originally from here. Mm-hmm. And everybody that I've talked to, I've seen there. Even though I didn't know you personally, mm-hmm. but I heard about your journey. Mm-hmm. I listened to the radio where you started and where you at now. So I love to hear those stories because I think that's a great story of perseverance. And I think it also helps all of us mm-hmm. say, okay, look, you don't have to be where you're at. If you be patient, steadfast, and get your mind going, you can make some things happen.
Yes. So
I do applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for sitting down with me. I wish we had more time. I know there's a lot of questions that I would love to ask. hopefully you will provide me the opportunity again.
Anytime. I want to say shout out to you because I think that you doing something different in this podcast and what it does for Charlotte is really, really dope. Like, even people that I don't know, when I listen to your podcast, I can learn about them mm-hmm. and I know that I want to engage with them and maybe partner with them and things like that. So thank you for bringing that aspect to the podcast world and also to the culture and to Charlotte specifically. Thank you.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. That's humbling. I do appreciate that. Thank you. Before we go, real quick, I do this with every show.
Okay.
At the end, what's next? What's next for Miss Jessica?
For Miss Jessica? You know what? I'm currently in the process of figuring that out.
Okay.
Every November and December, I sort of sit back and I'm mm-hmm. sort of still, and I'm sort of like, all right, God, what you want me to do next year? So I can't fully answer that question yet.
I understand.
Because I'm in the process of being still and sort of listening to God so that he can help me guide me with what is next for 2020. I'm hoping that, let me not say I'm hoping, one of the things that is next for me is to firm up my foundation. I do a lot of, like, the Big Cut, Boo Bash, mm-hmm. all of those type things, power performers, all of those type things in the community. I want to put them together under one foundation. So hopefully in 2020, I'll be able to kick off that foundation.
That is what's up. I will be paying attention to that. Any way I can help, please let me know.
I will.
I will be more than glad to participate, volunteer, donate a dollar or two if I can.
Thank you.
So
thank
I'm always
you.
Going to be there. But again, thank you for sitting down with me. Let everybody know where they can find you at.
Everything is Hey Miss Jessica. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even my email address, Hey Miss Jessica. And that's HEYMS, not MISS.
Okay.
HEYMSJESSICA. So at Hey Miss Jessica.
All right, Miss Jessica. Thank you again. And to the ones that are listening, thank you. I am E-Dub, and I am with the Who Got Next podcast. If you want to reach out to me, my Instagram is whogotnext_CLT. And if you have any questions or comments or feedback, anything, I'm willing to accept it all. I'm gladly appreciated of everything. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And as always, hit me up if you know somebody I need to talk to, but you don't have to because trust me, I will find them. And I will know who got next, just like I found Miss Jessica. So thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, bye.